ask you to be patient with us for a minute. Today we have the privilege of welcoming Mrs. Shirley Bennett Gray into our membership, into the fold of the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Troy here. I'm not sure if everyone remembers who she is, but she's sitting right over there in the fourth pew, and she'll come up here in a minute as soon as her uncle comes back. Her uncle is Leslie Bennett. You've seen him ambling around here for the past couple of years, on and off. He lives in Jamaica. He's 98 years old. So we thank God for being his guide throughout all his generations. And he's been very instrumental in her life and in the fact that she's now a Seventh-day Adventist member. Shirley got baptized in Jamaica some time ago. And she's wanted to become a member of our congregation since she's been back. And she spoke with a clerk who wrote to the church in Jamaica to have her membership sent. But over the year, we've experienced some difficulty. They haven't responded. So it became our task to contact the pastor of the church, and we also spoke with the person who baptized her. And a couple weeks ago, she handed me a DVD of her baptism. So I did get baptized. And so because we don't have anything from the church out there, we had to make all these different contacts to verify, one, that she was baptized and that she's who she says she is. And all that has been verified. We're waiting for her uncle to come back upstairs so he can witness this, because one of the concerns that she had was that she wanted this to happen when he was here, because he's going back home next week. He's going back home on Monday. And we won't see him again until the summer. So she really wants him to be here to witness this event. According to the church manual, after making several attempts to contact the church where she was baptized or where her membership is, having received no response, it then becomes our responsibility, or we have the option of accepting her in a profession of her faith. So in consultation with the conference and with the church board at the last board meeting, it was agreed on that we would accept her on the profession of her faith.
It says, "And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him." Our second reading will be coming from Revelation chapter 22, verses 16, 17, and 20. It says, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things, that the churches, I am not, and the offspring of David, and bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. He will testifieth these things, saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Praise the Lord, church. The song you just heard is entitled In Christ Alone. And our theme today is why I believe, why I cannot wait for Jesus to come again. Amen. And it wasn't planned, unless Sister Annette planned it. but this song is a wonderful answer to those questions. Amen?
Yes.
In case you did not hear all of the words, I want to share them with you. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. Does anyone have storms?
Yes.
What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. He is my comforter. He is my all in all.
Yes.
Here in the love of Christ, I stand.
Yes.
In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God and helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ, I live. There in the ground, his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave, he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his. And he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ.
Yes.
Don't we often have to remind ourselves of this?
Yes.
No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny.
Yes.
No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns and calls me home, here in the power of Christ, I'll stand.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let us bow our heads and pray. Merciful, loving Father, we thank you because you've gathered us together here today for a purpose, and we want that purpose to be fulfilled. Whatever message you have for us, whatever message you have for me and all of the speakers today, I pray, Lord, that nothing will hinder that message from getting through. Whatever all of us need to receive today, what peace, what assurance, let it overflow, Lord God. And once again, I ask you to help us to just let everything else go so that we can be still in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Today's service will be a little different than what we're used to. Today we are all going to participate through our prayers, our testimonies, and our songs of praise to God. As we focus on our theme for the year, watch and pray, Jesus is coming again. And our theme for today, why I believe, why I cannot wait for Jesus to come again. 1 Peter 3 verse 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Our speakers today, Reza Baggett, Candy Colon, are ready to answer why they believe, why they cannot wait for Jesus to return. And I pray that all of us will be blessed. I just want to mention that last Sabbath, we got a sense of how wonderful it is to receive what you've been watching and praying for. When Pastor, was it 25 years?
Yeah.
24 years? He had been praying for his mother to give her life to the Lord.
Amen.
How many of us get impatient by waiting for a day for something when we're on the internet and the thing won't come and our page won't load, right? 25 years or 24 years for his mother to give his life to Christ. And we're waiting for Jesus to come, and sometimes we become so impatient and things start happening in our lives. Friends leave us. Disappointments happen. People die. Our hearts break. But we're told to watch and pray because Jesus is coming again. So we're going to pray together. We're going to sing together. And at the end, we're going to share our testimonies. Our prayer and praise section was not eliminated. It was just pushed back a little bit. So let us sing now. Let us take our hymnals and let us turn to 422, Marching to Zion. Let us keep our eyes focused on where we're going. 422. Come we that love the Lord and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord and thus surround the throne and thus surround the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to heavenly Zion, that beautiful city of God. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God, but children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King may speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to that beautiful city of God, the hill of Zion yields a thousand sacred sweets. Before we reach the heavenly fields, before we reach the heavenly fields, or walk the golden streets, or walk the golden streets. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to heavenly Zion, that beautiful city of God. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to that beautiful city of God. Yesterday I read a quote by Christian author C.S. Lewis. He said, if you want to get warm, you must stand near the fire. If you want joy, peace, everlasting life, you must get close to what has them. In our scripture reading, Peter, James, and John had an encounter with the one who has them, and they straightaway left their nets and followed Jesus. Amen. Or as he is called in Isaiah 9:6, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, yes, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In chapter 25 of her book, Desire of Ages, Ellen White summarizes parts of Matthew 4, Matthew 1, and Luke 5. Sorry, Mark 1 and Luke 5. And I would like to read some parts of this chapter today, because we're talking about why we believe. And part of that, when I was reading and thinking about this, bits by bits, piece by piece, I thought about the disciples and how they just dropped everything to follow Christ. Yes. So I'm going to read. Jesus turned to Peter and bade him launch out into the sea and let down his net for a draught. But Peter was disheartened. All night he had taken nothing. During the lonely hours, he had thought of the fate of John the Baptist, who was languishing alone in his dungeon. He had thought of the prospect before Jesus and his followers of the ill success of the mission to Judea and of the malice of the priests and the rabbis. The establishment was not nice to this Jesus. Even his own occupation had failed him as he watched his empty nets, and his future seemed dark with discouragement. "Master," he said, "we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. What do I have to lose?" Night was the only favorable time for fishing with nets in the clear waters of the lake. After toiling all night without success, it seemed hopeless, a little crazy, to cast the net by day. But Jesus had given the command, and love for their master was moved by the disciples to obey. Simon and his brother together, they let down the net. As they attempted to draw it in, so great was the quantity of fish enclosed that it began to break. They were obliged to summon James and John to their aid. When the catch was secured, the boats were so heavily laden, they thought the boat was going to sink. But Peter was unmindful of this. This miracle blew his mind. Ellen G. White didn't say that. It was something he had never witnessed before, this manifestation of divine power. In Jesus, he saw the one who held all nature under his control. The presence of his divinity revealed his own unholiness. Love for his master, shame for his own belief, gratitude for the condescension of Christ, that he would sit high and come low to meet them. Above all, his sense of uncleanness in the presence of infinite purity overwhelmed him. While his companions were securing the nets and bringing in the fish, Peter fell at the Savior's feet, exclaiming, "Depart from me, get away from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." It was the same presence of divine holiness that caused the prophet Daniel to fall as one dead before the angel of God. He said, "My comeliness was turned into corruption, and I retain no strength." When you think about how perfect God is, yes, and that he wants you, and that he wants me, even if you don't like me, he wants me. Even if I don't like you, he wants you. And he wants to see us together, yes, in heaven. This perfect God comes, and you start to feel unclean, right? Isaiah beheld the glory of the Lord, and he exclaimed, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Humanity, with its weakness and sin, was brought into contrast with the perfection of divinity, and he felt altogether deficient and unholy. And thus it has been with all who have been granted a view of God's greatness and majesty. Peter explained, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." But yet he clung to the feet of Jesus. feeling that even as sinful as I am, I have one help, and it's you, Jesus. The Savior answered, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." It was after Isaiah beheld the holiness of God and felt his own unworthiness that he was entrusted with a divine message from God. It was after Peter had been led to self-renunciation and dependence upon divine power that he received the call to work for Christ. Don't be afraid. Get close to Christ. It'll be uncomfortable, but that's just our sins, ourselves being purged out. We got to get close to the Holy One.
Yes.
Until this time, none of the disciples had fully united as co-laborers with Jesus. They had witnessed many of his miracles and had listened to his teaching, but they had not entirely forsaken their former employment. The imprisonment of John the Baptist had been to them a bitter disappointment. If such were to be the outcome of John's mission, they could have little hope for their master, with all the religious leaders combined against him. Under the circumstances, it was a relief for them to return to a short time to their fishing. But now here is Jesus telling them, "I want you to leave that former fishing behind and to unite your interests with me." Peter had accepted the call. Upon reaching the shore, Jesus bade the other disciples, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left all and followed him. Have we laid down our nets? How badly do we want joy, peace, truth, and eternal life? How badly do we want to love purely and to give and serve cheerfully without resentment? How close are we to Christ, the source of truth, the source of love, joy, peace, the essence of eternity? Are we close enough to be fully changed, or just enough to be associated with his name? 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says, "Examine yourselves. Whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves." We must ask these questions. Are we living like we cannot wait for Jesus to come again? Oswald Chambers said, "Consecration is the act of separating myself from everything except that which God has appointed me to do." I'm going to read that again. Oswald Chambers said, "Consecration is the act of separating myself from everything except that which God has appointed me to do." How many of us are tired? Exhausted? Our to-do list is overwhelming, and it makes us bitter sometimes, right? Sometimes it makes us bitter because we want to help, but we know that it will deplete us and it will frustrate us. The women's ministry was reading a book, The Best Yes. Best Yes, there's a chapter on how to say no, you know, because we're just stretching ourselves so thin. Sometimes there's a good thing to do, but God's not necessarily asking you to do it. But we think we need to do it. Go where Jesus leads you. Since I read this quote, it has messed with my head in the best way. It helps me realize how many more nets I need to lay down. Today, as we focus on Jesus Christ, the only one through whom we have access to true love, true joy, true peace, and eternal life, the one who gives us strength to leave our nets behind for something much better,
yes,
I pray that we will all allow him to soften our hearts, transform our minds, conform our wills to his. Let us tune out everything and seek out God's voice. Let us be still so we can see where he wants us to move. The latter part of today's scripture says, "Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Let us lay down our nets, our lives, and follow him. Let's stand by the fire and experience the gift of God's rest. Let's take our hymnals and turn to hymn 440. I'm going to ask each one of you to find someone you have never prayed with before. And I'm going to ask you to share your prayer requests with each other. and we're going to pray. Amen? Amen. Anyone scared of this activity? Okay. So let us pray. Let us find. I ask that you would take your hymnals and turn to 185. I would like to pause again to pray for Sister Linda. If you look at your bulletins, Sister Linda is one of our speakers, and I did speak to her last night. She thought that she would be able to be here today, but she's not here today. So clearly she's not feeling well, because I know she wanted to be. So can we bow our heads one more time? Loving Father, I ask that you would be with Sister Linda wherever she is, that you would comfort her, that you'd give her a sense of joy and peace, and that you would heal her body, Lord God. Yes. We thank you for her ministry. She's ministering to us even though she's not here, Lord God. We thank you for her. Please be with her. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Happy Sabbath. I'm just touched of this privilege that I can voice out my feelings about why I believe that Jesus is coming again. The word believe means accepting, and you have confidence, and you understand, and you trust, and because it is the truth. Yes. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming soon. I hear this since I was a child. My parents always told me these phrases. Jesus is coming soon. And even this is my very favorite song. Jesus is coming again. Coming again. When I heard that song, it really touches me, and yes. I remember my parents, and I really thank God for giving me to them. I mean, that I have that parents who believe in Jesus and taught me about Jesus and always remind me that Jesus is coming again. When I came here, I've been through a lot of hardships, pains, heartaches, but it never stops me to believe that Jesus is coming again. How about the saying that to see is to believe? This is only, for me, this is only sayings, but I don't believe it. I don't need to see Jesus. I don't need to see him in person in order to believe him. Yes. Even in just reading his words, I already believe that he is existing. He is existing in my life. His love works in a mysterious way in my life. believing in something without seeing, it's not easy. But believing Jesus and believing that he's coming soon and he's coming again, for me, no doubts, no fear, that will stop me in believing. Believing that Jesus is coming again, it already occupied my whole being. And these hardships, even now, the hardships that I have, the pains, no. I can say no to them, to this. But instead, I have a full hope. And full hope in waiting for Jesus to come. I have to keep on holding on to my faith because I know I have the truth. The truth that I understood, the truth that I am sure of, the truth that I accepted, the truth that I trusted, the truth that I believe that Jesus is coming again. In John 14, verse 1 to 3, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen. This is my big hope.
Yes.
To meet you in heaven.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We've been going off script in the name of the Lord.
Happy Sabbath. When Sister Rachel asked me, I said, "Ooh, isn't there anybody else?" But if nobody else, okay, I'll do it. But anyway, Sister Raisa, that's a beautiful testimony. I'm touched, very touched. I'm a little different. I wrote it down so, because if I don't, I'm just going around and around the circle. I wasn't born as a Seventh-day Adventist, but as a young child, I know there is God. So when I was a young child, my oldest sister gathered us every night at 6 o'clock to pray, to do rosaries, and I have so much respect for my sister because my mother, I never really say that to my mother, but my sister always, every night, we have to kneel too. And we go to church. But we cannot go to church every Sunday because lack of money to pay for the transportation. But I'm always happy and look forward on Christmas because that's the only way I can get a new dress to wear to church. Uh, As I continue going to church with my family and friends, still no understanding of Jesus, even though I prayed to him because I know there is God. When I came to America, I continued going to church, but was not happy. Something is missing in my life. There's no peace in me. Then I met Eric, who shared his belief in Jesus, but I never seen him going to church. But then we started visiting his church. And then after 10 years of our marriage, he returned to church and we both attended a revelation seminar with Pastor McNeil. And I learned so much about Jesus and I never heard before. I said, my goodness, why? How come like, you know everything about this and you don't go to church? I'm just adding that. Where are we? I'm lost. We both get baptized and my belief and faith in Jesus become real. I was no longer unhappy because I had greater understanding of Jesus and what he did for me by dying on the cross for my sins. And it's truly free me and such a give me a peace when I understood what is cross, dying on the cross of Jesus all about. I have many trials and tribulation, but Jesus is with me through it all. Amen. Then I get cancer, and I was very scared, but my family and my family church pray for me, pray with me, and I trusted Jesus to be in charge of my situation. Yes. And thank God it's been 5 years that I'm free of cancer. Amen. And my faith and love in Jesus grown and grown and greater and greater this day. Jesus never leave me or forsake me in everything. And this is why I love Jesus, because he first loved me. And this is why I can wait till Jesus to come. There will be no more trials, no more tribulations, no more death nor sorrow. As we see in this world today, Satan's power will be over, and we will be with Jesus, our families and friends together in heaven and on earth. And that's why I can't wait till Jesus comes. Amen. And I want to share about Sister White writing, and this is truly cover why I can wait till Jesus come. Since Risa's thing is a little short, I can be a little longer. And I said to Rachel, Sister Rachel, it's only 3 to 5 minutes for me. But somehow, I found something, if I can find it now. Okay. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Oh, no, wait. Okay, somehow. Revelation 21:1. The first that consumed the wicked purifies the earth. Every trace of the curse is swept away. No eternally burning hell will keep before mentioned the purple consequences of sin. One remainder alone, a redeemer, will ever hear the marks of crucifixion. Somehow I didn't start this. On the beginning. Sorry, forgive me. I'm supposed to start with the new heaven. Oh my goodness. Just let me read that, please. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. The fire that consumed, it's the same, you're right. The fire that consumed the wicked purified the earth. Every trace of the curse swept away. No eternally burning hell will keep before the ransom of purple consequences of sin. That one reminder alone remains, our Redeemer will ever bear the marks of his crucifixion. Upon his wounded head, his hand and feet are the only trace of the cruel work that sin has wrought. O tower of the plaque, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, to thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom forfeited by sin, Christ has regained, and the redeemed are to possess it with him. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. A pair of making the saints inheritance seems too material, has led many spiritualized away the very truth which led us to look upon the new earth as our home. You can see that on Revelation 26 and Psalms 94:1 and Revelation 21:1 in Micah 4:8 and Psalm 37:29. This is too little. I'm having a hard time. Christ assured his disciples that he went to prepare a mansion for them. Those who accept the teachings of God's word will not be wholly ignorant concerning the heavenly abode. And yet the Apostle Paul declares, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither heard entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Human language is inadequate to describe the reward of the righteous. It will be known only to those who behold it. No finite mind can comprehend the glory of the paradise of God. In the Bible, the inheritance of the saved is called country. There is a great shepherd leads to his flock to fountain of living waters. The tree of life yields its fruits every month, and the leaves and the tree are for the service of the nation. There are ever-flowing streams, clear and crystal, and beside them weaving trees cast their shadows upon the path prepared for the ransom of the Lord. There's the wide spreading plains swell into hills of beauty, and the mountains of God rear their summits. On those peaceful plains beside those living streams, God's people, so long pilgrims and wanderers, shall find a home. There is New Jerusalem, having the glory of God, but light like into stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, saith the Lord. Imagine that. I will rejoice in Jerusalem, enjoy in my people. I will rejoice. No. This the tabernacle of God is with man, and we will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and their God. Amen. And God shall wipe away all tears, their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That's why I can wait till Jesus come. In the city of God there shall be no night, nor none will need of desire. In the city of God there will be no night, nor will need desires repose. There will be no weariness or in doing the will of God and offering praise to his name. We shall ever feel the freshness of the morning and shall ever be far from its close. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, nor for the Lord God giveth them the light. The light of the sun will be superseded by radiance, which is not painfully dazzling, yet with immeasurably surpasses the brightness of our noontide. The glory of God has the Lamb floods that holy city with unfading light. The redeemed walk in the sunless glory of perpetual day. And I saw no temple there, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The people of God are privileged to hold open communion with the Father and the Son. Now we are through a glass darkly. We behold the image of God pleated us in mirror in the works of nature and in his dealing with it. We behold the image of God depleted us in mirror in the works of nature and his dealing with man. But then we shall see him face to face without dimming wall in between. Amen to that. We shall stand in his presence and gaze upon the glory of his countenance. There's immortal mind will study, will never failing delight, the wonders of creative power, the mystery of redeeming love. There is no cruel deceiving for to tempt, to forget allness of God. Amen to that. I need that. Every faculty will be developed, every capacity increase. The requirement of knowledge will not vary. The mind of exhaust the energies. Then there the grandest enterprises may be carried forward, the loftiest aspirations reach the highest ambition realize. And still, there will arise new heights around, surmount new wonders, to admire new truth, to comprehend first object, to call forth the power, mind, and soul, and body. In the years of eternity roll, they will bright riches and more glorious revelation of God and of Christ. As knowledge is progressive, so will love and learn and reverence and happiness increases. Thank you. Amen. The more man learn of God, the greater will be their admiration in his characters and of characters. As Jesus opened before them the riches, the riches of redemption and the amazing achievement and the great controversy with Satan, the hearts of the redeemed beat with a stronger devotion, and they sweep the harps of gold with firmer hand, and 10,000 voices, my goodness, 10,000 of voices unto swell the mighty chorus of praise. And every creature which is in heaven and the earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and amen. Forever and ever. Amen. Sin and sinners are no more. God's entire universe is clean, and the great controversy is forever ended. Amen. Amen. And that's beautiful. That's why I can wait till Jesus come to end all this suffering in this earth. Thank you. Amen.
Before we come to a close, I would like to open it up to you to share your testimonies. Maybe two or three folks who want to share why you believe, why you can't wait for Jesus to come again, or perhaps just something wonderful that happened this week, an encounter you had with the Lord. So the floor is open. The Lord did nothing. Okay. I think the mic's over there.
Sorry about your hat.
Sister Johanna.
Happy Sabbath, Church. The encounter that I have, it was on Monday. A friend of mine had an appointment, and it was something that we've been praying for almost 9 years, on and off, but we were praying. And I forgot to pray for it the night before. So her appointment was at 9 o'clock on Monday, and God just told me, turn your face to the clock, it's 9 o'clock. And I dropped everything. I was on the highway driving. I didn't even pull over. I just prayed and drive. And I know in my heart that God was going to answer this prayer this time. For we've been praying for, like I said, almost 9 years. And when she called me, and I told her on the phone, just tell me the good news, because I know God answered this prayer. And she just burst. She said, yes, he did. And chills just went all over my body. And I was like, you know what? We cannot cease praying. For he said he will answer our prayer. It might be a yes, it might be a no, it might be wait, but he sure will answer your prayer. So I tell you today, don't cease praying. Sometimes we get tired, sometimes we get discouraged, but let's keep praying, for he answers prayers.
Amen.
I like to. to testify why I believe. I heard the ladies give testimony, and I can relate to everything that they said. But my personal experience with God is that many years ago, I had a need in my life, and God was the only person that could fill that need. I was stationed in Korea, and I was exposed to knowing God when I was growing up. But there's a difference between knowing of God and having Jesus as your Savior. And somebody invited me to a Bible study one night, and right there in the barracks. And as I sat there, I realized that I didn't know Jesus the way I thought I knew Jesus. And so I went back to my room, and I began to read the Bible. And God began to minister to me and reveal himself to me. And time and time again, he's proved himself to me. He loves me in spite of me. And there's nothing that can change my mind that Jesus is real. Like my sister said, I don't have to see him. I know him because he walks with me and he talks with me. And I thank God for that. And the second part of our sermon today is why I'm hopeful that he's coming, right?
I can't wait for him to come.
I can't wait for him to come. And I really want him to come because this world is really bad. There's things that are good in this world. I enjoy my family. I enjoy church. But there's nothing like seeing Jesus face to face. And the Bible gives me that hope. So I pray that he comes again and that I'm with him. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Happy Sabbath, church.
Happy Sabbath.
I just wanted to say that I guess the why I believe, it has to go back to when I was small with my mother. She suffered for a lot for her beliefs. And I've watched, even though we wouldn't say anything, we watched a lot. And I remember she used to hide to go to church after she found the church, the Adventist church. She had to hide to go to church because my father was not for it at all. And I remember just when I was small praying, and my father came in the room and said, I don't want any prayers here, okay? And it stuck in my head, and I know he threw the hymnal and the Bible away, that there must be something, okay, to this. And as we grew, and I saw how the Lord helped my mother. There were 10 of us, and we're originally from Jamaica. And my mother, with her third grade education and dependent on the Lord, she took all of us up from Jamaica, put our feet on the path of knowledge, and it was always, we had worship in the morning, worship at night, okay? And then and I saw what the Lord did for my mother, even though we had one foot in the church, one foot in the world, you know, and stuff. Whenever we were, how can I put it? Whenever my mother had a dream and she said, I have a dream, no matter what, we couldn't even sin correctly because she was always there. You know, Lord must have been revealing certain things to her, okay? So we were like always, ugh. Okay, when my mother got sick, she had a stroke, okay? And she was sick for 13 years, and she became somebody we didn't know because she was in a nursing home, but, you know, and she just deteriorated, and we always wondered why the Lord had her suffer so much. Our hopes and our dreams were tied up in our mother. And then I believe what happened is we realized we were serving our mother's God. We weren't serving our God, okay? And I remember what Jacob said when he ran away on his way to running away from Esau. He said to God that night, if you will do this for me, and if then I will serve you, you will be my God. And I believe the Lord used my mother's sickness to bring us to a better understanding of him so that we would be dependent on him for ourselves, okay? Because we had to be stronger for our families. And And now these are my daughters with me. I have three children, and my daughters are here, and you know, I thank God for them. They grew up in the way that I could grow them with the knowledge of the Lord. And I'll just say, from what if I had come to the conclusion after a while that even if the Lord had done nothing for me, even though he's been doing for me, but you know, sometimes you want this fantastic miracle to just, you know, blow your mind to say, oh, God did this, God did that. I had come to the conclusion that even if God did not do anything for me, I would serve him because of what he has done for my mother and for, you know, that trickled down to us. I will give this quick experience. Please just bear with me. I remember we were looking for a house, and I had gotten so discouraged. This was like 12 years back. I had gotten so discouraged. I had my children, and we were living in this apartment, and then I was looking, and I kept praying. We kept praying all the time, and then I remember that day my son got sick. He wasn't well. So I stayed home from work, and he stayed home from school. And then about 1 o'clock, something said to me, go to the post office. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's cold outside. What am I, you know, and something just kept prodding me, go to the post office. And I went to the post office, and I stood in line to get stamps and to get my mail or whatever. And then this lady who was ahead of me, she finished her business, and then she went out, came, and then 2 minutes later or whenever, when I was at the front, she came back up. And then she met a friend in the post office, and they were talking so loudly about their homes. And all of a sudden, I don't know, the spirit must have just said, just open, I just put it in my mouth. I said, where do you live? And she said, up the street. And the other lady said, I live down here. Make get to the point, the Lord used my son's sickness to get me that house. Because the lady at the post office, if I did not go to the post office, I would not have had that house. And the Lord worked out everything. And I realized that the Lord loves, and he knows the innermost secret. He knows what you like, what you don't like. Okay? So I believe, because the Lord is real to me, and when I look around and I see how perfect I am, how perfect we all are, okay? There is no way this living machinery could come out of nothing. Okay? We are too perfectly made, and there has to be a creator. And I saw, and my mother drilled it into us, the way of life is only through the Lord, the path leading to the Lord. And I thank God for that, and I can't wait for him to come, because you know what? I believe in him. I believe there is evil, and I believe it is time for us to be one with God again, to experience the so-called bliss that we're all looking for. If we're not careful, we get so used to this life that we don't even think beyond it. But there is beauty in God. There is love in God. Amen. And I just can't wait to see him again, for him to restart his creation, and for me to maybe say, oh, Lord, what about that? Why don't you make that blue instead of red? Okay?
Amen. Amen. You can continue to testify downstairs when we have a prayer circle right before we have our delicious meal. I want to leave you. That was for everyone who wants to share. With the second part of our scripture reading, I, Jesus, have sent, Revelation 22, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen.
Amen.
Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Let us close.
Amen. You know, there's a saying that when you want something done right, you get the woman to do it. And they did it right today. Amen? Amen. They ministered to us and they gave us their testimony why they believe. But the question remains, why do you believe? So this Sabbath afternoon, as we depart, ask yourself and pray and meditate and ask God, why do you believe? And be ready to give an account to those that you encounter to tell them the hope that you have and the soon coming return of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today that you have revealed yourself to us. You have made yourself manifest in our hearts, and we know that we can trust that you are there for us and that you are Creator. You are Redeemer. You are ever-present help in our time of trouble. And Father, as we depart from service today, dear Lord, we pray, dear Lord, that you help us stay on the course, that we may glorify your name even when we go through trials, even when we're at work and at home, and when we face adversity and we face loss and we face sickness, dear Lord. We pray, dear Lord, that we stay faithful and witness for you. As we depart today, we pray, dear Lord, that you grant us your peace. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.